Well, good morning, everyone. It's been good to be here, just thinking of the words of that song that we sang, There Waits for Me a Glad Tomorrow. And I think it was the last verse that says, someday the dark clouds will be rifted, and all the night of gloom will be past, and all life's burdens will be lifted, and the day of rest will dawn at last. And considering what I had to share here this morning, this life is full of blessings, but at the same time, there's always gloom, and there's always darkness and things that we need to sort through. It's just part of living on this earth. So this morning, I want to look at the subject of discernment, and discernment in the area of just sorting through the gloom that surrounds us and the gray areas of life. A couple definitions of discernment is, so the first is the ability to judge well. And that's simply just, you know, spiritually speaking, the ability to see a situation or whatever it is we're facing, and to be able to understand, you know, this is what the Word says about this, and to judge it in that way. Another definition is perception in the absence of judgment. So there's many things that the Word of God doesn't specifically speak about, and that is where this type of discernment is needed, where we can perceive God's will and understand what we're called to do in a situation that maybe isn't spoken to directly in God's Word. And there's even one place in Scripture that refers to discernment as a spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 10, it says, it's talking about spiritual gifts. Verse 10 reads, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. So that's a gift that God gives specifically to some believers, I believe, is the discerning of spirits, to see, you know, what is driving this choice or what's behind it. And I think we can all have that, but some people to a greater degree. And God calls us to use our spiritual gifts. If that is a gift that we're given, then we're called to use it. Discernment is a characteristic of God. And the Word of God, in one verse, the Word of God is called a discerner. Hebrews 4:12 reads, for the Word of God is quick, living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Word of God does a mighty good job of leading us in discernment in our life. And how often have we found ourselves in a place where the Word of God does just that? It discerns something in our life, in our attitude, or that isn't right, and it's easy to try to work our way around it, just kind of plow through and not pay attention to that. But that's what God's Word is there for, to discern our hearts and the hidden motives of our hearts, and we need to let it do its work. I want to read a scripture here in 1 Kings. This is a good example of Solomon and his approach to needing discernment in his life. And it also, there's a few things we're going to pull out of that on what things might cloud that in our own life. 1 Kings chapter 3, I think it is. We will start at the beginning of that chapter. First Kings chapter 3 and verse 1. So this is talking about Solomon receiving the kingdom here, and some of the things that went along with that. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was a great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude." Here Solomon is acknowledging in his prayer his weakness and his inability to guide this kingdom of Israel. And he's acknowledging his need of help from God. In verse 9 it says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." So we're going to stop reading there in verse 14. This was an attitude that Solomon had that greatly pleased the Lord. It says he was pleased with this speech that Solomon had made. And God said he was going to grant his request not only because he had asked for it out of a pure heart, but because of the things that he did not ask for. And so we're just going to take a look at those things there. I think we can gather from this verse that these things that, maybe I'm taking a little bit of liberty with this, but the things that he didn't ask for, I think, were things that would have hindered him being able to discern and judge wisely. So the first one there is, he did not ask for himself long life. And I don't think it's talking about asking for, you know, that he can be an old man someday and have wisdom and be able to share that with others. I think it's more of a selfish request, just for our own well-being and our own comfort and ease. And these days we hear a lot of retirement, and that's basically just people want to prepare for living to be old someday and still, you know, having a good life. And I think it's just talking about a selfish pursuit for our own, just for our own selves. So if we have this selfish attitude, as far as clouding our discernment, gradually, if we're focused on ourselves, gradually whatever we prefer and whatever appeals to our particular fancy is going to start being viewed through a different lens, lens of selfishness, and not that vigilance toward that vigilant discernment. So selfishness will just gradually lead us to accept things that appeal to ourselves. And that is not going to help our discernment at all. The other thing that was mentioned here, it says he did not ask for riches for himself. Riches and the pursuit of riches has a way of blinding us to things of eternal importance. And spiritual discernment is just that. It's to help us sort through the things that aren't important and cleave to the things that are important eternally. So if we're desiring gain for ourselves in this pursuit of riches, one thing we notice is that we become increasingly open and vulnerable to anything that furthers that in our life, whether it's good or bad. Just because something can bring a lot of gain quickly in our life doesn't mean it's bad, but if we're seeking after that, we become a little more open to things, even if they are wrong. A lot of times something that we would otherwise deem unnecessary or harmful can become acceptable in our eyes when it's in the context of business or material gain. And riches and the pursuit of it will hurt our discernment. Now, the third thing that God mentions that he didn't ask for is the life of his enemies. Now, this was a different time, and even though God did call these kings in Israel to defeat their enemies in physical battles and to have physical armies, those kind of things, he still, even in the Old Testament, there's times that are mentioned that we're not to wish evil on our enemies or delight when we see them fall, those kind of things. It was necessary. This was God's way of establishing his people, and these things were necessary, but God did not want them to have this attitude of just despite for their enemies. So if we can turn this a little bit in our direction today, so do we have enemies? And what is our attitude toward those that could be our enemies? Even if we wouldn't say that, you know, we wouldn't say that we have enemies, but sometimes we have an attitude that kind of betrays that. So I'm going to turn to the book of James, and we'll read some verses there that speak to this. We'll start in James chapter 3. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. So just as we read through this, think, you know, look at these examples it's giving and think, you know, is this an attitude that is going to give me spiritual discernment, or is it going to destroy that in my life? Am I going to be so focused on other things and fighting the wrong battles that I'm going to lose my way? The first verse here, verse 13, says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Now that verse is what we all want. That's what we're trying to attain in our lives. But then it quickly switches here and goes into some more negative things. "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? So the scripture we read in 1 Kings, God said that he was pleased with Solomon's request because he did not ask for the life of his enemies. And then here in the New Testament, we find him talking about people in the church, and he literally uses the terms, like he says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. And these are all figurative things here, the killing and the fighting and the war, but I think it's a striking comparison. Do you think God is going to give us spiritual discernment when these things are in our heart? So those were the three things that God was pleased that Solomon did not ask for. And yet, he said he was going to, because he didn't ask for those, because he asked for wisdom, God was going to give him the wisdom, but he was also going to add these other things into his life. So discernment, to some extent, comes with age, and that is why I feel like that's why the scriptures talk about deferring to the younger people, deferring to older ones and revering them and honoring them. I can think of a lot of times in my own life where when I was younger, something was so clear at the time. There was no doubt in my mind that this was right. But if I look back at that, I just lacked discernment because I was young and inexperienced. And even today, I'm not, I'm still a young person. And I can already look back just a few years and see those times when I lacked spiritual discernment in something that seemed so clear to me. So for you parents, your children need that input in their lives. They don't have that level of discernment that you have through experience and walking with God. You don't need to let them learn the hard way. If you see them making choices that are leading them in the wrong direction, just share that gift of discernment that God's given you. And even don't be scared away. Don't be scared off when at times words of caution and warning go unheeded, because that's going to happen. We're just called to be faithful in whatever capacity God has given us. So discernment, in the end, discernment is for our own good and to keep us from leaving the path, the only path that leads to eternal life. Let's try to cultivate that in our lives. Let's give up these, as we find selfish motives and attitudes in our life, we need to give those over to God and to ask for a change of our heart, change of our desires, so we can seek his kingdom, and that we wouldn't allow these things that cloud our discernment in our lives. So God bless each one of you.